Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining me now on the Harbor One Hotline, a guy I've known for forever, my old pal John Corrales from the Boston Sports Journal. He was up wicked late last night. He was listening to Brad Stevens talking well into the midnight hours and beyond, gathering all the intel, perspective, and analysis he possibly could about the Celtics draft and more. He's been killing it online this week, and he joins us for a couple of minutes now to help us make sense of what has been an absolutely wild week, Johnny, for the Celtics. First things first, take us back to where you were and sort of like how you processed the, all right, I just finished my write-up on Brogdon to the Clippers for Porzingis. Oh, wait, would they just did what?
Yeah, so I had actually just finished recording a podcast, full 40 minutes of analysis on the whole deal and all of that, talking about how Marcus Smart and Porzingis might actually work together. And then I see the trade has been, it fell apart. Both sides are moving on. So now I'm thinking there's no trade. And then progress, wait till past midnight. And then I hear that the deal is back on. And I'm thinking, I'm celebrating, like, okay, my podcast is going to work. And then I realize Marcus Smart is being traded. And that was just kind of like a big old wow. Because I knew that they were going to move on from one of their guards. And I knew that Marcus Smart was going to be possibly moved. I didn't sit here and think that it wasn't a possibility, but when the framework of the deal seemed like it was going to be Brogdon, and to have it pivot so quickly and to rip Smart away, it was just a little bit shocking that was the next pivot. But we also knew that Derek White wasn't going anywhere, so that really left only two choices. And if Brogdon's hurt, then, you know, maybe I should have seen it coming.
But at the same time, though, I saw there was that tweet from Adam Himmelsbach about how the Clippers couldn't get someone to check out Brogdon in time on a timeline satisfactory enough for their liking, so therefore they balked. And then that sort of went hyper-viral, and then everyone got into their feels. And then your quote tweet of it really kind of hit home. Was like, so basically, a doctor not being able to check out Brogdon to allay the concerns of the Clippers cost the Celtics Marcus Smart. I mean, is it really that simple?
I think that might be just like a little bit of an oversimplification for the sake of a quote tweet. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be somewhere in that realm where the Clippers got they were in, and they knew that he was hurt, but when they didn't realize the extent, and when they couldn't go in and look for themselves, it just the timing of everything didn't work because of the midnight deadline. I'll tell you this: if they had an extra couple of days, if this conversation ended up a couple of days ago, and instead of the midnight deadline for Kristaps Porzingis to move and opt in, mm-hmm. if that wasn't there, the Clippers might have had like an extra day to say, okay, let's just take a look at him. Let's get him in for some imaging. Let's us do our own due diligence and get a sense of what's in there so we can tell. what, you know, is he, how hurt is he? Brad Stevens last night said he expects Malcolm to be ready for training camp, and he doesn't even have to have surgery necessarily. Like, he has the option right now of maybe surgery, maybe not. So if the Clippers had, like, a little bit more time, if the pressure of that midnight deadline wasn't there, then it might have been a different story.
John, I always try to be optimistic, and I love this trade. I love the upside of Porzingis. I love that. I think Brad Stevens kind of swung for the fences here. But what are your thoughts on adding Porzingis to Tatum and Brown and this offense and what it will look like and what it can be?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a big Marcus Smart guy, right? So that I'm a little bit surprised by all of this, but at the same time, I can look at the whole deal and look at it on paper and say it's still a good deal for the Celtics. You know, two firsts and Porzingis for what they gave up. What Porzingis can bring has the potential to really be important for Boston. Not only is he, you know, a 7'3" guy that can shoot, and he shot 38.5% last season, he's a guy that you can actually toss it to in the post, and he's learned how to operate in the post, which is kind of weird for a big guy, but he's learned that his height, you know, how to use his height. We got to remember, I feel like Porzingis has been in the league for 12 years, but he's still only 28. And a lot of times when you're that size, hitting your prime is actually really meaningful, because a lot of things start to come together when your body is sending messages from the brain to the extremities. It takes a little while for that message to get through on a big guy like that. So when everything comes together like it did this past season, you go, okay, he's starting to really figure out how his body works. And getting him into the post and having him score effectively and efficiently in the post is an important element, because how many times has the Celtics offense stalled and Tatum and Brown have had like 5 seconds to be like, all right, well, let's throw caution to the wind and try and drive. And it's a turnover or something like that. Now think 6 seconds on the shot clock, Porzingis gets it in the post. At least he can fire up a turnaround or a jump hook or something with his big high release on a 7'3" frame. Now that gives you a safety valve that the Celtics haven't had in their offense. So that is an important element to have on the team. And then defensively, he's a 7'3" guy with pretty much elite rim defense numbers. If you throw him on the floor, start him with Robert Williams, now you've got Robert Williams is the better rim protector, and he's floating around behind a guy with elite rim protection numbers last season. So it has the potential, if he can stay healthy, which is obviously the biggest caveat with him, it has the potential to work out really well.
John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal. Give him a follow at John_Corrales. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline to talk Celtics around the Smart trade, the draft, and more. John, real quick, who do you think right off the top, who would you say player-wise benefits the most from the Smart subtraction and the Porzingis addition?
Smart subtraction. I like right, it.
Sorry, the subtraction of Marcus Smart, 36. No, we're not retiring 36 and putting it in the rafters. Everyone who said that, stop. Come on.
I mean, look, I love Marcus Smart, but come on.
Yeah, let's, same, same.
Who benefits the most? Probably Derek White. I mean, Derek White's going to get more opportunity. He'll be the starting point guard. We'll see what kind of distributor he can really be. He hasn't had to be that kind of guy yet, but I think with Tatum and Brown on one side, on either side on the perimeter, and Porzingis is a guy he can dump it to, especially if you got Rob out there, there's going to be a whole lot of lanes for Derek White to drive, to pass, to shoot. So I think White's going to be, as far as the starting lineup goes, he's going to be a guy that benefits a lot. Another guy who benefits a ton, Al Horford, who is not going to be relied on to do a ton. He gets to kind of chill a little bit more. He gets to move to the bench. He gets to play like 20 minutes. You kind of reduce his role in the regular season. And then when the postseason comes around, I think he can be fresher, more healthy, and then he can come in off the bench. And if you need him to check Embiid for a series, if you face Philly in the playoffs, he'll be fresher from a less taxing regular season. I think Horford is very well into the stage of his career where kind of coasting for a few months before you get into April, May, June is going to be very beneficial to him. And to do that now without being a starter or without having to be like one of the main guys, having Porzingis here to take that role is going to be really helpful to Al Horford.
Crystal ball, what do you foresee now on the Brad Stevens offseason plan picture?
Jeez, that's a good question because Brad's a busy dude, and I'm wondering if Brogdon can stick around at this point. I mean, he was traded, and you know, remember Ray Allen, how pissed off he was when he was traded, he was gone, and then he came back, and then was the year that next summer, the summer after that, is when he decided to go to Miami, and he just didn't feel respected. And so I feel like there's a potential for some of that with Brogdon. So I think Brogdon might end up going. Grant Williams is going to be an interesting case. How they handle him. They might, if they can turn Grant into a sign and trade or some sort of deal where they get back some perimeter help, and that can make up for Brogdon going. And I think there's still some moves going to happen. This really is just the beginning. And I'll just say, a little bit of a surprise because I didn't think the Celtics need to be completely retooled, but Brad is very clearly like, we're fixing some issues here.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder, like, if Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard stick around, what their role on the team would be. Like, Grant Williams wants more money, wants more opportunity. We saw him be reasonably effective in the playoffs, and what a polarizing figure he became this year with the meeting that we learned about back in March where Tatum and Brown said, you got to play this guy more. We're going to need his defense in the playoffs. I thought he was more of a positive than a negative in the postseason, though everyone still finger wags and shakes their head about game two where he woke up Jimmy Butler and Butler went 4 or 5 on him on the next 5 possessions. You know, that wasn't smart necessarily, but at the same time, like, at least somebody out there was grinding. Can you see him? Can you see him fitting in at all on this team now, or are these guys basically just playing their way onto another team by tip-off?
Well, I can see him on the team, but what he's going to get paid, what the Celtics can afford for what he'll be doing might now be askew. Like, it might not match up anymore, right? Okay. I came into the season thinking that he might get $16 million, $17 million. I was actually thinking that maybe they would overpay him a touch because of the new collective bargaining agreement rules. Like, you're going to see some guys get overpaid so they can be tradable. It's a weird new twist to that deal because of the way the salary matching rules are going. So I thought he might be one of those guys. But if Porzingis is in and you're still keeping Al Horford, I guess that Horford element might be the determining factor. And Horford still has 2 more years of effectiveness, then him coming off the bench essentially makes him the Grant Williams role from last year. And it's a guy you can clearly depend on a little bit more. Then Grant is probably priced down below what he'd be asking and below what teams might be offering him on the free agent market. So the Celtics might be trying to sign and trade in order to open up his kind of options. Rather than just going to a team that has the cap space, they might say, look, we're open to a sign and trade, negotiate with whichever team you want, and we'll try to make it work for you.
Noted, measured National Basketball Association analyst Stephen A. Smith said this morning, the Celtics, Celtics now the team to beat.
Driving the hype train.
Yeah, do you agree?
You know, every team is the team to beat, right? Like, the Phoenix Suns were the team to beat when they got Bradley Beal, and all of a sudden Porzingis comes in and like, whoa, it's the new flashy new thing. And the Celtics are one of the teams to beat. And they very clearly are making moves. They did improve, although the improvement on paper, it's not necessarily guaranteed to translate on the court. We do have to see how it will translate, but I think they did improve, and they are one of the favorites. They were always going to be one of the favorites, and Porzingis does give them another element of, you know, an unguardability. Like that unguardability kind of goes up. So yeah, that makes them more difficult to beat. That makes them a contender, and well, they're in the mix. It's them. It's Denver. Phoenix is in the mix. Milwaukee. We'll see what happens with Chris Middleton. I expect he's going to re-sign there, but Milwaukee will certainly be in the mix. So yeah, the Celtics are among the teams to beat, and that's where you want to be.
John, I had a Celtics season ticket holder friend text me and was like, keep an eye on the name Alec Burks if you want to sound smart on the radio.
Is your friend work at the docks?
Yeah, he smokes a lot, too. Alec Burks, is that a name I should keep an eye on?
He's one of those guys that kind of like, yeah, he always can fill a role, right? He's a pretty good shooter. He shot 41%. For Detroit last year, has shot over 40% for the past four seasons. And so, yeah, he's a guy that in his early 30s can always help a team if he's willing to, if he can fit into money the Celtics have to offer. It is kind of interesting. The Celtics, with their moves last night, all the trades and everything, opened up the possibility of using their taxpayer mid-level, which is like a $5 million slot. But using that hard caps the team now at the second apron, that super tax line, which I don't know if the Celtics really want to get to that point. We were talking to some of the Celtics front office guys last night. They don't even know. The collective bargaining agreement hasn't even been finalized. They don't have it. So we're coming up a week from free agency. These guys don't even know what the rules actually are. They have a sheet. They have like a 90-page document that's guiding them, but they don't have the actual CBA. So they don't know what tricks, things that they can and can't do specifically. Alec Burks can be a guy that can come in and help. I don't know yet if they have the money or are in the situation to bring in a guy like Alec Burks. But if they can, yeah, he'd be a real help because he can help search the floor.
And last but not least, you've been very generous with your time. Some great perspective as usual, Johnny, on the Celtics. I guess we should talk the draft pick. So the Celtics trade back, let's see, they made four trades, a number of second-round picks. They have an Angian number of draft picks now that Brad has built up in the war chest. What he's going to do with all those second-round picks, I don't know. Maybe draft Jordan Richards and Rozai Dowling and Joan Williams. Oh, who knows? All right.
Cheap shot.
Well, it was Belichicky, and I apologize for nothing. John understands. We've watched a lot of Patriots games together. And they end up with Jordan Walsh. Now, that's somebody I think most people are relatively unfamiliar with. Can you just give us a little bio breakdown, and do we even see this kid, let alone does he make any impact in the first 2 years, we'll say?
First year, you'll see him in summer league, so you'll get to see him in a couple of weeks.
No, I won't.
if you so choose, I will be seeing him in a couple of weeks.
All right.
He's 6.5 foot tall, 7 foot two wingspan, great lateral quickness, comes in as like a lunatic defender with a jump shot that's questionable. If it sounds like I'm describing Marcus Smart, it's a lot of the same kind of bio there, where he's probably ready to defend NBA players on a physical level right now. He's a little small as far as he's a little thin, and he's certainly not ready to handle all the tricks and all of that stuff, so he'd probably foul a ton if they tried to put him in there right now. But he has the possibility of developing into an elite-level defender at his highest, right? At his best-case scenario, an elite-level defender who can probably develop a jump shot. Brad Stevens seems confident that jump shot's going to come along, but that's what you got right now. A wing who can probably defend four positions, is too small to defend the five, but is very quick and can defend across the perimeter So he'll come in. I would expect that maybe he's either on a small non-guaranteed deal or a two-way deal to start, and then they'll see if they can develop him in Maine, develop that jump shot, get him used to some of the tricks and the speed of the game, and definitely not this year, but maybe next year or the year after. I can see a possibility of him becoming part of the rotation.
John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal, my guy, at John_Corrales. Please sit back, relax, enjoy your day. I'm sure there's a lot more processing, podcasting, analyzing in your immediate future, but we're all the better for learning what we did from you, Johnny. As always, have a great weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, and hopefully I'll see you down the Cape.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal joining us on the Harbor One Hotline.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.